Thank you for listening today. My name is Russ Marin. I'm the pastor of Monclova Road Baptist Church. Today, I'm going to play the third part of a three-part message from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. This is the story of the 70 witnesses that are sent out. And Jesus Christ says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." So let's go right now to the church auditorium for today's message. Verse 21, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Now listen to me real close here. Years ago, I was intimidated witnessing-wise. I was intimidated. I didn't want to witness to my doctor. Didn't want to witness to an attorney. I thought they were too intellectual. They were wealthy. They are professionals. That type of person intimidated me. And you know what? Generally speaking, they're harder to win. But just set them aside for a moment and say, in most cases where a revival breaks out, where God moves mightily, it is the common person that comes to Christ. It's not the intellectual. It's not the wealthy financier. It is the common, everyday person. Don't be intimidated by that. Go to that person, give them the gospel, share Christ with them. The little child, try to win children to Christ. You shouldn't be intimidated by them. And don't, I guess I'm saying, I don't want you to be afraid to witness to people, but I know I spent too much time worrying about what the high society person would think. I was a little bit intimidated by them. He says here that the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. In verse 23, "And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see." You know, all through the Bible, historically, some of the great prophets wanted to see Christ. And they weren't able to see Christ, but these 70 witnesses were seeing Christ, were experiencing God's power in their life. Just as God will win the common person, recognize this also. God often uses the poor. He uses the poor, not the rich. He uses the weak, not the strong. And he uses the ignorant, not the educated, or not the learned sometimes. So if you're educated, that doesn't mean he can't use you. If you're strong, obviously he can use you. But oftentimes, biblically, God raised up people who were very weak, and he used them mightily, and they were poor. They were poor, and he used them rather than using the rich. God wants to use you, and God is able to use you. He's surely not limited by our finances or by our education. Some of the great preachers in history, the Apostle Peter, uneducated. Apostle John, uneducated. D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman, uneducated. Billy Sunday was a baseball player, uneducated. Some of the great preachers in the history of the world are uneducated men who God mightily anointed and mightily used them. So don't let Satan tell you, well, you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough influence, you don't have this or that. God can use you, and that's why I go back to where I said before, if you want the power of God on your life, it's going to cost you something. Are you willing to suffer the cost in order to have the power? I think I have a greater appreciation today for men of God or ladies of God that have been greatly used, because I realize it's not an accident. It just is not an accident. You do not become mature in Christ by reading through the Bible one time. You don't become mightily used of God by going out soul winning two times. It takes years, and it takes circumstances, and it takes heartbreak and heartache and tired muscles and disappointments. It takes all of those things. You'll suffer death in your life. You'll suffer lost friends. You'll suffer persecution. You'll suffer all. You'll suffer being misunderstood. I had a lady write me a letter in church in New York one time. She had been a very active member in our church for a couple years. She was a new convert, and I said to myself one day, I said, if we would ever lose this woman and her husband, I don't know what I first thing would do. I would be shook. And she wrote me a letter about a month later and said, Pastor, I can't come to church anymore. There are too many things we disagree on, and I know you won't change. She had never said anything to me ever that she disagreed on. Never told me one thing that she disagreed on. But she wrote me a letter and said, there's way too many things we disagree on. I know you'll never change, so I can't come to church anymore. And you know what? Any preacher gets to do this, but I have to stand up every Sunday and say what I believe, and the people listening do not have to respond. And there'll be people who will reject me that will never face-to-face say, I disagree with you on that. I'm just saying to you, to have the power of God in your life will come at a cost. A cost. If we start listing Christians, the Hall of Fame, and we can't do that, God can. But somewhere in the list there, we'd list Fanny Crosby, wouldn't we? Fanny Crosby is a blind songwriter, hymn writer. We would list her. But I'll tell you what, and we obviously understand this, her relationship with Jesus Christ came at a great price, didn't it? I have to believe that if she could have seen, she probably would have never written the hymns that she wrote because she couldn't see. Came at a tremendous, tremendous price. When Charles Spurgeon was preaching in England, and they were drawing masses of people, they said in the tabernacle where he was preaching in London, there's 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. And a couple times, people were trying to thwart the ministry, trying to hurt his ministry. And they would get at an exit, and they would cry out fire and try to throw panic into the auditorium. And on one occasion, several people were killed because during the preaching service, someone cried out, and there was panic in the auditorium, and people were trampled to death. And they said Charles Spurgeon tremendously took that to heart and was hurt and concerned that because of the masses of people that were there, that he was responsible for those people being killed. You know, his humble spirit, the power of God upon his life came at a cost, a price. So I guess I say all that to say this to you. If you're hurting today, if you're hurting for one reason or another, there's a reason. God is going to use it in your life. And he may very well use it to give you more power in your own life to be used of God for his eternal glory and for your eternal reward. That unless you've had that surgery, unless you've had that heart disease, unless you've had that broken home, unless you've had that mighty disappointment in your life, that heartache, unless you've had that, you would not have the relationship with Christ that you have. Unless you've watched someone else suffer and you've had to walk along with it, you would not have the power of God in your life that you have today. So what may seem very miserable to you today, very disappointing, or a tremendous hardship, God is at work in your life to use it in some mighty way. And God will use it to humble you. God will use it to get you on your knees. God will use it to demonstrate how much he loves you. God will use it to show you how gracious he is. God uses all those things that you could have power upon your life to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, there's nothing joyful about going through that, but just recognize the bad marriage is your opportunity to know Christ to a much greater extent. The hurting child, the trouble at work, whatever the case, is an opportunity for you to know Christ. You know what? You say, who loves God the most? The saved prostitute or the saved successful business person? And I almost guarantee you, most cases it'll be the saved prostitute. Why does the saved prostitute love Christ more? Because she's been forgiven more. She's gone before Christ and sought His forgiveness and had nothing to glory in. And because of that, she has this tremendous desire and love for Christ and this great compassion for other sinners. Compassion for people doesn't come. You're just not born with compassion for people. If you're a cancer patient, I just almost promise you, you'll probably have more compassion for a person that gets cancer than the non-cancer person. It's just because you've been there. And the prostitute has compassion for sinners because she's been there. So power from God comes at a price. And God takes ordinary, common people, poor people, and He uses them. Uneducated people, and He uses them because they're a humble spirit before Him. Verse 24, and I close. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them.